Welcome back to Just Scrap Radio on BJPenn.com. I'm your host, Cole Shelton, episode 21. We got a good lineup for you. First up, we're joined by the UFC Vegas 16 headliner, Jack Hermanson. This interview was done when he was supposed to take Kevin Holland, so some of the questions are obviously about the Holland matchup, but I left it in the show just because it's really good insight on everything that's kind of happened in this camp. Hermanson's supposed to fight Darren Till. We talk on that and how he ended up in a lose-lose situation, and I asked him when this Vettori fight was asked, and he felt the same way, so that's why I kept it in, is he thinks it's a lose-lose. Like, if he beats Vettori, okay, everyone thinks he was supposed to beat Vettori, similar to Holland. And if he loses, it's obviously not a good look for him. This is a guy, Vettori, who's at the bottom of the middleweight rankings. Like, he goes out there and beats Hermanson. This is a big opportunity for Vettori, not so much for Hermanson. So it was good insight on that. And in the state of the middleweight division, like whether or not where Hermanson thinks he is after Adesanya's moving up and how many fights away he thinks that he is from a title shot. So good conversation there. That's why I left that in. But next up, we're joined by Diego Ferreira. Obviously, just got a fight and announced the rematch against Beneil Dariush. This interview was done about a couple days before that was done. He didn't even know this fight kind of came out quickly. But we were just talking about what this year's kind of been like for Diego Ferreira. He goes out there, submits Anthony Pettis on the main card of the Conor McGregor, Donald Cerrone pay-per-view card. Just seemed to have a lot of hype after that fight, and then just hasn't been able to capitalize. Hasn't been able to get fights because of the pandemic. His fight against Drew Dober got canceled. Then he's supposed to fight Drew Dober a couple weeks ago when he had to pull out. It's just been a tough time for Diego. So we just kind of get an update on what this year is like for him, and given his thoughts on the lightweight division after Habib retires, because he thinks it's wide open as well. So he wanted one of these big names. He mentioned Michael Chandler, but he gets Beneil Dariush, which was a great fight. We're then joined by Montana De La Rosa. Really appreciate Montana in the interview because she took this fight on very short notice against Talia Santos. She's stepping up on I think 2-3 weeks notice. So obviously a short camp. We talk about what camp's like, what preparations like on this short notice of a fight. Talia Santos looked good last week against Juan McCann, surprised a lot of people. But Montana De La Rosa obviously lost her last fight. She's looking to get back in the win column. She thinks this is a good match for her, and one she can pull off of an upset. She's around a plus 200 underdog, so intriguing matchup for that. And then we close the show talking to UFC flyweight Cody Durden. Durden, impressive UFC debut, had a draw against Chris Gutierrez and a bantamweight on short notice. Gutierrez is someone a lot of you have a lot of hype behind, and a lot of people think can be a future contender at 135. But obviously, Durden out-wrestled him, dominated the first round, and then he lost the second. He 10-8 him in the first, lost the second and third round for a draw. But he's taking on Jimmy Flick, who has a lot of hype after the contender series. And Durden doesn't really agree with it. He said he doesn't think Flick is that good. We've seen him get knocked out. He actually got knocked out by Chris Gutierrez on the regional scene, who Durden had a draw with. So he thinks he's going to make a statement, really put the flyweight division on notice, and he thinks a finish win over Jimmy Flick's going to get him a top 10 opponent next. So a really insightful chat from Cody Durden, who's down at ATT training. But hope you guys like the show. Be sure to share it, subscribe, and thank you all for listening once again. Hope you have a good day.
I'm joined by UFC middleweight Jack Hermanson. Jack, how's it going?
It's going great, my man. All good here. How are you?
I'm doing well. Obviously, headlining a card coming up here, but are you a bit disappointed isn't against Darren Till? Because obviously Till comes with that huge fanfare.
Yeah, definitely. I was very disappointed, especially with all the work that went into this fight camp. I've been really specializing on Darren Till. And we just broke the game down into small pieces, and we worked so hard to perfect everything. And then he's suddenly out. So it's both the hard work and also, as you mentioned, I lose a great opponent and a big fan favorite in Darren Till. So that sucked. But we managed to at least get a fight, so I'm happy with that.
Yeah, I heard about you posted on Instagram as well, as you had a hard time getting a replacement opponent. You said, like, I think it was 5 or 6 people turned down. Why do you think so many people weren't interested? Because you're a top 5 guy. If they go and beat you, they're probably right up there for a title shot.
Yeah, you know, I'm not one of those guys that thinks that people are scared of me. But it might be that people feel that they need some time to prepare for me, and that 4 weeks isn't enough for them. That might be one thing that they are considering. And, you know, sometimes the timing in people's lives are not the right to do a fight. But at the same time, you know, especially with guys that's ranked below me, I'm right up there. And if they want to climb on the rankings, you know, you got to take the opportunities like that. 4 week is not that short of a notice. So, I would have loved to see one of the other guys step up there. But anyway, there was one guy that was willing to do it at least.
Yeah, you end up getting a fight in Kevin Holland, but again, a bit disappointed isn't a ranked guy because it feels like all the pressure is now on you.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm the guy that's willing to put myself in that situation because I want to be the champ, and I want to show everybody that, you know, if I'm going to be the best in the world, I should be able to beat that guy, right? Even though he is on a great win streak now and has a lot of hype behind him, he's unranked. And if I'm going to be the number one, I need to beat that guy. So that's what I'm looking forward to prove.
Do you think this is kind of a lose-lose fight for you? Like, it's good you're getting paid, but you go out there and beat Kevin Holland. Everyone goes, oh, well, Jack was supposed to eat Kevin Holland. He's going to need one more and get a tough shot. If Kevin Holland beats you, it puts you down that rankings quite a bit.
Yeah, but at the same time, if I'm going to get a title shot, I need to stay relevant. And the best way of doing that is to go a UFC main event, right? So we can't forget that this is a main event fight. And to show myself to the fans and what I can do, I need to stay active. I need to be in there and I need to go for that main event. So even more people will recognize me and believe that I am the next guy for the title.
Kevin Holland's 4-0 this year, but he hasn't fought the highest level competition. What have you make of his run so far?
Yeah, he's good. He looks good. He's a little bit of an unpredictable guy. He's very opportunistic. He's funny. He has his talking going on in there in the cage, and he's pretty all round as well in his skill set. But I don't see that extra edge anywhere, and I don't see him fighting super high pace, or I don't think his strength is anything special. I don't think his conditioning is anything special. I just don't see him beating me in any kind of way.
Yeah, and if you look at that fight against Darren Stewart a couple months ago, he went 3 rounds, and he even admitted he was really, like, pretty gassed at the end of 3 rounds. So this is a 5-round fight. Like, do you think that's an advantage for you? Or we've seen you, you have really good cardio.
Yeah, 100%. A 5-round fight is probably an advantage for me no matter who I fight. And in Kevin Holland, who is maybe not known for his cardio, I think that advantage goes to me all the way. And I also have experience with 5-round fights. He doesn't. And doesn't, like, you can train how much you want, you know, but it's not the same as being out there in a fight. So this is a new experience for him. And I got the upper hand in that one.
How do you see this fight playing out? Because a lot of people on the outside think if this fight hits the ground, you're probably going to submit him. On the feet, you guys are pretty comparable on striking wise.
Yeah, I see myself finishing it in the first round. I'm gonna come after him and I'm gonna look for a finish. If it's gonna be in the stand up or on the ground, I'm not sure of that. But the first opportunity that presents itself, that's the one I'm gonna get.
What do you think a win over Kevin does for you? Just because he isn't a ranked guy, you still have Whitaker as the number one contender. So, what do you think a win here puts you?
Yeah, it just solidifies my position. You know, I'm ranked number 4 in this division, and a win over Kevin Holland doesn't add a number, like another number, towards my ranking. But neither did Darren Till. Darren Till was ranked below me as well. So even though I have more to lose in this fight, I still wouldn't climb in the ranking with a fight over Darren Till. And I think that the UFC and the fans appreciate Kevin Holland's skills. And with a statement win, I will just show everybody that I am on the next level.
To me, I think if you beat Kevin Holland, I think there's really a handful of fights. I think maybe rebooking Till, just because Till's a big name, or a number one contender fight with Robert Whittaker, because you have Adesanya moving up. I think that's probably it if you go out there and beat him.
Yeah, I don't like the Till fight so much, because that was supposed to be my, you know, tune-up fight to show that I'm the next contender, right? But now when he backed out, I want that title contender fight. And it's Robert Whittaker or if Rob isn't ready, maybe Paulo Costa. That's the only two guys that I can see. And my next fight of this one should be a contender fight, definitely.
Your last fight was in Fight Island. How are you able to get in Vegas? Because I know some countries are iffy on if you're allowed to travel and whatnot.
We get this exception when we are working. So yeah, they allow us to travel to the United States, and hopefully, yeah, everything will go smooth.
Are you glad it's in Vegas, supposed to Fight Island? Because we went out to Fight Island. You were fighting at like what was it, like 6 a.m? I think you're fighting at.
Yeah, but on the other side, we need to cope with the jet lag now when we travel to Vegas. So it's same, but it might be better. I was very, very tired actually at Fight Island, and I did not sleep well that night because, you know, when you're supposed to be down there in the reception at 3 p.m, you know that you're kind of afraid to oversleep or something, even though your coach is going to wake you up, you know, you have that in you, you know, and I didn't sleep well at all. But when you're in Vegas, you know that you're going to fight on at night, so there's no chance you're going to oversleep. So probably I will sleep better the night before the fight. So yeah, I probably prefer Vegas.
And in Vegas is a smaller octagon. Do you not think that's a big advantage for you just because you can be able to close the distance and get to the ground a lot quicker?
Kind of, but at the same time, my stand-up requires a lot of footwork. So it can be both ways. So in a stand-up fight, I really prefer to have a little bit more space. And to be honest, I like to get my opponent down on the free space, not against the cage, because it's easier to stand up if you have the cage behind you. So not necessarily a fan of the smaller cage.
And I have to ask you, what are your thoughts of Adesanya moving up? Because to me, I don't really get it, because you have Glover Teixeira right there, light heavyweight. At middleweight, if you go out there and win, you could get a title shot. You have Whitaker rematch. Like, there's still a lot of options for both Adesanya and Blachowicz.
Yeah, definitely. But they want to create that next super, superstar, you know. So I understand why they're doing it. But I really, really do hope that he wins that fight, because I want to beat Adesanya when he's undefeated, you know. And yeah, it would be even cooler to beat the double champ. So as long as he wins, I'm okay with it.
I actually thought you prefer he'd lose, because there's been a lot of talk where if he goes out and wins, then it sets up the John Jones fight, then it just keeps you stalled even more.
Yeah, but I really believe that he will go down off that one. He might be fighting John Jones one day, but I don't think he's super, super eager to get up there. And I think he want to grow even more, you know. I can see himself thinking that Jan is obviously an easier fight than Jones, and he believes he can go up and get that belt. And then I think he's going to do a couple of more middleweight fights, and then maybe the Jones fight. I don't think he's going to come that quick.
Just a few more things. What did you make of Whitaker and Cannonier's fight? Because Cannonier's the guy you fought. I thought Whitaker was going to win, but I didn't expect him to win all three rounds like that.
Yeah, super impressed by Whitaker. I really believe that the Whitaker was going to do very well, because I feel like he's fighting at a longer distance than Cannonier does, and he has that those big steps in his footworks where he darts in. And I really believe that Cannonier was going to have some trouble with the style of Whitaker. And so I was not surprised, but Cannonier also mentioned that he fractured his arm like in the first round or something, so he fought through that adversity for sure.
Is that a fight you still want back, even though he just lost? Is that Cannonier one?
Yeah, but that means like the UFC is not very often open for rematches if it's not for the title, you know. So, but I would love to go up and win the title. And if Cannonier is the next guy to go up there, I would love to defend my belt against him and revenge my loss.
This is your second fight of the year. It's going to be, you're only going to get two fights in. So how quickly do you think you can turn this around?
Not very quickly, probably, because if I really want to fight Whitaker after this one, and he just got a kid, I believe, and he said that he's not gonna be ready until March or something like that. So that would be the best fight to make, and a little bit of rest after this one and fighting Mars, that would be perfect.
Dude, I think makes a lot of sense is so say they do Adesanya Blachowicz in March or April pay-per-view. Have you and Whitaker, if you win, co-main event, just so then whoever wins that fight's on the same timeline as Adesanya. Or you could do it like a week or two before to have it a main event.
But even like a co-main would be pretty cool, like on the same card there. That would be fantastic.
Just a couple more things is I'm sure you've probably seen it. What have you made of Paulo Costa saying, oh, he deserves a rematch and all that?
No, man, he did not look very convincing at all in that fight. And I predicted, a win for him. I really believe that his style was gonna give Izzy some trouble. But man, did I have wrong? He did not look good in that fight, and yeah, he has a lot of excuses. They might be true, I don't know. But you need to prove yourself. You need to go another fight and show that you're worthy to fight the champ again. Because after that performance, you do not deserve an immediate rematch.
And just last thing is, not because I'm just talking, but I've said this before on different podcasts. I actually think you're the hardest matchup for Adesanya just because of your ground game. Like, if you look at the top five, you saw what he did against Costa. I don't think anyone's gonna outstrike Adesanya. I think his striking is way too good. I think the way to beat him is probably get him down, try to submit him, or just try to hold him down wrestling. And do you agree with that? Do you think you are the most difficult matchup for him?
100%. I agree with that, and I think that's something that the UFC really need to notice, and they can build that fight around that. Because Adesanya already beat the guys that's ranked above me, right? And I have that kind of skill that might give Adesanya a problem. So yeah, this fight is meant to happen for sure, and the fans should be excited about it, because I think that I have the cure for for Adesanya.
Well, Jack, thank you so much for doing this again. I really appreciate it.
Oh man, no problem at all. My
Yeah.
pleasure.
Have a good one. All right, we're joined by UFC lightweight Diego Ferreira. Diego, man, how's it going?
Doing great, brother. Just here chilling, finish it up with a great training and my jiu-jitsu class. Everything doing great today.
Yeah, I wanted to get you on just to kind of catch up. We haven't seen you since you defeated Anthony Pettis, obviously the biggest win of your career. How frustrating has this year been where you haven't been able to capitalize off that win?
It's been real frustrating now, especially with the last two fights I got, but I couldn't fight, all after this COVID, it's been really hard, but the win is good. I wish I could have capitalized a little bit more, having another few fights coming up, but I'm excited. I'm excited for 2021 and then see what we're gonna have in front of us.
Yeah, obviously you were scheduled to fight Drew Dober twice. The one time the event was canceled, and then you had to pull out. Is that still a fight you're interested in, or do you have your eyes on different people?
I'm interested in that fight, because I was excited to fight Dober, and I trained for Agual, for the first all the pandemic, and the second I was training, I got hurt, and it's something I have, but damn, I wish I could that fight could have happened. I was real focused, but I know in the future, I hope we can, line up again on the future and see what we're gonna have in front of us to get this fight going now.
I know you pulled up with a bit of an injury, but when is the ideal time frame you're able to return?
I'm really good, it
Yeah.
was just like the first 3 weeks, I was a little bit in pain on my arm, but now we got done, we get fixed it, get a little bit of over the massage and therapy and everything. And now I'm feeling good. I'm already getting back to the training, you know, back to the drill, and feel great already. And see, as soon as I have a call from the UFC, I really hope of being this year still. But if not, 2021, I'm still excited for me. I'm still looking forward to climb the rank and see what's going to be next.
I know you put your name in the hat for the RDA fight. Did that ever get close to being done?
Yeah, we got close to get done, but I know Dos Anjos was want to fight 155, and Paul Felder jumped to get 155. Was good for Poirier.
Felder?
Paul Felder, yeah. You know, he did a great show, you know. He put the time, he made the 155, you know. But that was a good show. And I'm not going to complain too much. I'm not going to say anything. I wish it could have been me, you know. Could have been, I was supposed to fight, but, you know, we leave behind. Now we move forward, but it was a great show from both fighters, you know.
Are you hoping early January you get back in there? Because I think they could throw you back on that McGregor-Poirier card. Fight on the undercard of McGregor again. Get some more eyeballs on you.
I know. I think it's a big, good one, you know. They've been back and forth. Now, just right now, I saw yesterday or today, somebody posted where he's been closed down the deal, and I'll be great. I'll be great if you jump on that card too, you know, on the beginning of the year. You see what is gonna they gonna offer me, and I hope it be offering me a good fight, because then after this whole year out of fighting, it's kind of tough for me, you know.
Well, before we get into that, just a couple more things on your fighting is you are. Do you kind of feel like you're the dark horse of the division? It feels like you and Charles Oliveira, the names that are having hard time, people fighting above them, and it seems like no one really brings you guys up in that title contention.
I think they I don't know. You feel like everybody is scared, like, because I've been asking everybody to fight, you know, above me, but nobody want to fight. I understand it's the way the UFC work, you know, but me and Charles, we've been consistent, you know. I don't understand why we all out of the big leagues or big show, whatever, you know, they want to call, you know, the big calls, but I think we doing more than that, you know. We've been more consistent, more on the streak wins, and how the guys with three wins were in front of us, you know, or somebody just jumping on the UFC is ready to, like, line up with the big shows, you know. I don't understand that, but, you know, I hope they can put us, like, on the big lane, the big big shows too, you know, the big names, because we doing more, you know. We do I think we do much more than just putting a good show. We bring in the war on the cage, and I don't know what they put us outside, you know, but it is what it is.
A fight I actually think makes some sense for you now that Poirier and McGregor is official and Ferguson's fighting Charles Oliveira, is you welcoming Michael Chandler to the UFC. Chandler's going to need a top 10 guy. You're ranked in the top 10. I think that'd be a good welcome test for Chandler.
Yeah, I do understand what Chandler won, you know. He came from a Bellator, you know, and jump in on UFC. You want to get a ranked fighter, you know, like us. We climbed the mount, and now he want to jump in front of us. I don't think it's fair, but, you know, I'll be free to welcome him to UFC. You know, I'll be grateful to step in for him. You know, and I hope he does. You know, but I don't think. Because he won a number two or three ranked fighter, but I think he's gonna back out if they want to put with me, and he want to get at another fight. But I'm right here. I'm welcome him to UFC, you know, to put him in line.
How hard has it been with the lightweight division? Because it just seems at the top, it's so stagnant. Like, the top five only want to fight the top five, and it's hard for you to really get a guy ranked above you.
Look, I gotta say, like everybody been asking me, I say the one thing. I don't care about numbers. I really want to fight, you know. I care about fighting with the best. I know the best is always on top five up. But, damn, I can't wait. I have a family to provide. I have a business, you know. I cannot be waiting for a whole year to fight again, you know. And I know the UFC events being, like, every another week. But, damn, they taking us, like, 1 year or another year to fight again. I don't think it's good. I just want to fight. I want to, if I have to fight somebody on low rank, I'm good to go, you know. I'm good with that. But then don't make me wait the whole year, you know. Like, it's hard, you know. But yeah, with all this pandemic too, but you know, I don't want to wait this long no more just to get a fight, you know.
Well, yeah, you haven't really gotten a paycheck in almost a year. Like, how tough has that been on you personally?
Like the way I say, I have my own business. I have my own gym, you know, on South Texas, right here in the Grand Valley. And it's been hard for every owner from a gym, you know, because right now we haven't been a lot of members coming in, you know. But for a paycheck for the UFC, it's always good, but it's tough, you know. Whole year getting paid. I'm not getting paid for the whole year. And then it's a little bit difficult for everyone, especially Christmas coming right now. You know, Christmas and New Year, it's going to be a little bit tough. But I don't stop work. I don't stop, like, getting out from my focus. But you know, I think for every fighter, it's kind of hard, you know.
I know early on in the pandemic, your gym was forced to shut down as well. What was that like for you when you had to shut your gym down?
Oh, damn. I was pretty sad, you know, real sad, because I was having my plans to, you know, plans to get married, you know, like fixing my gym, build my home. You know, all there, like, all this going, like, slowed me down a lot, you know. It got me on a panic, because damn, the gym was closed. I was not able to fight, and all the plans I have, the money was getting short, you know, to build a house and to get through to my wedding with my wife. You know, we already married, but we're planning to get a wedding on the church. I was pretty sad for me, you know. We got through, like, really hard times, like, personally. But we move on, and thank God everything go well. But was real heavy, especially because I was with my mom, and my sister was with me, you know, on a vacation. You know, and they have to stay for a little bit longer, and I have to provide for them. I was really in a hard time, but we get through. We get everything straight up, and you know, with our like personal issues with everything, especially with the pandemic. But we get through, and today we happy, and you know, moving forward and getting. Thank God, the gym is getting better than before.
Just a few more things. Is obviously this been a tough year, only one fight, so are you hoping to be very active next year to make up for some of this lost time?
I hope, you know, if the UFC get me, you know, a fight on the 2021, I'll be able to fill it out all the time they need me, you know. Or especially get me at least like 3 fights in a year, you know, because this year was slow for us. But I hope they can get me like at least 3 times in a year on 2021.
if you get three opponents like next year, where do you see yourself at the end of next year? Because I wouldn't be surprised if you're knocking on the door of a title. You go 3-0 next year. You're right up there.
I hope it'll be like at least fighting for the title. You know, like yeah. it'll be great for me. You know, I'm 36 years old. I'm gonna be 36 years old on January 18th, and it'll be good for me to, you know, get close to the title, because then I don't have too much time, and I want to get close. I want at least reach to get close by the title, you know, and it'll be great to see that.
And just last thing, all likelihood is next time you walk to the octagon, there's gonna be no fans. How weird will that be? Because the last time you were there was one of the biggest cards they've done this year. Obviously, McGregor's return.
I think for me it's gonna be a little bit weird, but I know the way I am. I unfocus real quick from the crowd, but I think it's gonna be a little bit weird because I already did a tournament with no crowds, you know. But it's not the same. But our job is to go over there and give everything we have and put a great show and sacrifice what the public on the TV or, you know, with another ones watching, you know. But I think it's gonna be okay.
Well, Diego, thank you so much for the time, man. I really appreciate it.
No, thank you, guys. I appreciate you guys always opening the space for me. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, of course.
I were joined by UFC Fly, Montana De La Rosa. Montana, how's it going?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing well. A short notice fight against Talia Santos. When did you find out about this fight?
I found out about it about 3 weeks ago. I was really trying to get a fight in like early December, so I was glad that they got me one.
So it's not as short notice as it was announced, because I only think it was announced, what, like a couple days ago, a week ago?
Yeah, they took a while to announce it, but I signed the contract like 3 weeks ago.
So I guess you sort of have a mini camp, like a 4 or 5 week camp. What's camp looking like then to prepare for this one?
Yeah, I mean, everything's going great. I'm staying over here at Genesis Jiu-Jitsu, working with Mark and Eric Sands and also Kendrick, and then Elliot Marshall from Colorado. I wasn't able to go over to Elevations because they had like a bunch of COVID and stuff going on, but he was able to call me and get on Zoom with me and go through like certain situations of like certain spots I could be in with her, and we could drill those out. So it's been really good.
Was this just trying to get one more in, just trying to get that bad taste of the last loss out of your mouth?
I mean, I'm always ready to fight. I was ready to fight right after that last fight. I felt like I'd gotten a lot better that camp, and I just had so much more to show, and I was glad I was able to get one in so soon.
And what do you take away from that last loss? Because Vivian's one of those top 10 girls that doesn't get really talked enough.
Yeah, I mean, she's super tough. I mean, the fight was pretty close. I think it could have gone either way. So it was nice to get in there and just get that ring time. And it was a really good fight.
And your striking, I think you showed a lot in your striking. Is that something you've really been working on? Because for the longest time, everyone just kind of viewed you as this grappler.
Yeah, I've been working a lot on my striking. I mean, I put everything together, but I was working over there at Elevation with Christian, Corey Sandhagen's coach, and I think that made me a lot better. And yeah, I just got to learn a lot from that.
And then against Talia Santos, how do you feel you match up against her? Because obviously her UFC debut, she didn't look too impressive. She lost to Maria Romero Borrello, and then she goes out and looks like a totally different fighter and dominates Molly McCann.
Yeah, I mean, I think, of course, styles make fights. That was a really good fight stylistically for her. But, I mean, she is super tough and strong and comes forward and bangs. So it'll be interesting getting in there.
And she's someone that likes to use the wrestling a little. But do you think that kind of plays right into you? Because if you get taken down, I don't know if she will be able to take you down. But even if this hits the mat, I think your jiu-jitsu is probably a lot better than hers.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, I think I'm – the only thing she has on me is like her Muay Thai. I think she's really, really strong there. So just not keeping it at that kicking range, I think that's where I win.
And this is your second time doing this like COVID fight week and fighting in front of no fans. I guess you did that on Tough, but how much do you take away from that last fight and put into this fight?
Yeah, I mean, it's all the same. Just I kind of block everything out as soon as I start walking towards the octagon. I mean, the cameras are still on your face, and it's better when I can hear my coaches a lot better, so that's a good thing about it. But yeah, it's not too much different for me.
And you're fighting an unranked girl, but is this just one you think you had to take, and then after this, back to fighting those ranked girls and get a top 10 person next?
Yeah, I wanted whoever they would give me. I've been trying to get one as soon as possible, so.
And your last fight was a bit of a short notice too, because not for you, but your opponent changed. How much did you take away from that camp? Because having to switch everything kind of at that last minute.
Yeah, I was training to go against Marina Moroz, but I guess she couldn't get out of her country, and she still can't get out of her country. So now I replaced her. So it's kind of funny how that worked. Yeah, I mean, I'm training in all disciplines, so I'm really not training towards a certain person. So I mean, I'm just working on getting better every day.
And just recently, the flyweight title fight happened. What do you make of Shevchenko's win over Maia?
And Shevchenko's, she's awesome. I mean, she's probably will be champ for a little while longer. And yeah, that was a great fight. Yeah, she did good.
I think what surprised a lot of people about you is you're still only 25. So do you still think you're not even hitting your like prime of your career yet, and you're just kind of tipping there, even though you are already ranked in the UFC?
Yeah, I know I have a lot more fights to go. I am super young, and I'm still learning every single time I get into the cage.
Your cardio, I think, is going to be an advantage here just because you've used to training at elevation. You can go three hard rounds. How important do you think that's going to be in this fight?
Yeah, of course. I think my cardio will be great. I've been working a lot on it too. Been doing like my sprints, bike sprints, been training really hard. So I'm hoping it'll come through.
And you have to be getting up there for most finishes at flyweight. You see, every single fight you win, it's mostly by stoppage, and it's a lot of exciting fights. Like, is that something you always strive for, is to get that bonus? And because it seems like every fight you're kind of hunting for that finish and trying to get that bonus.
Yeah, I think it's just my fight style. Like I like to get the finish. It's the goal, and I think that's always what should be. You should be trying to get the finish the entire time.
And I know it's sort of short notice for you, but who were you working with? I assume obviously Mark, and then who else were helping you out?
Eric Sands, he's been helping me with my wrestling for a few years now. And then Elliot Marshall, and then Kendrick Williams have been helping me like on the pads and with my stand up.
Is elevation still a full-time move for you? Like, are you going back out there next time you get a full camp?
Yeah, I'm sure I will.
And with this one, I know Talia is not ranked, but she is coming off that good one. So where do you think a win here puts you in this division?
I mean, I haven't really thought about that. It's just thinking about getting in there and step by step getting that win, and we'll see. We'll see after that.
Obviously, you like getting the fights on the ground, but do you think striking wise, you guys are pretty similar? Because I think your striking has improved a lot, where I wouldn't be surprised if this fight just stays standing. It's a stand-up fight.
Yeah, I mean, wherever the fight goes, I'm ready, obviously. I showed that my striking was able to hang with anybody, even hard hitters like Viviana. So, yeah, I mean, I'm ready wherever it goes.
And something about you is you're even though you're so you fought a lot of like these top girls already in the regional scene. Like you fought Cynthia Calvillo, Mackenzie Dern, like Nico Montano, the first champ you fought on top. Like, how much does that experience help you going in these fights?
Yeah, I mean, I've fought some of the best, and I've trained with a lot of some of the best, so it just helps me, know that I belong here, and yeah, this is where I should be.
And how much is it weird that a lot of this flyweight division, like the top 10, is basically your season of Tough now? It seems like all you guys have graduated from Tough right into that top 10 of that division.
It's awesome. It just shows how talented the girls that came out of that show really were.
And you were on Tough. They're talking about bringing it back. What do you think of that? Because I think a lot of people are sure about comeback just because contender series are there. But do you think Tough has a spot in the UFC always?
Do I think what? Sorry.
Do you think Tough comeback? Like, what do you think of Tough coming back? Because you're obviously
Oh
ready.
yeah, I think that'll be great. I'm super excited. I'll definitely watch all of it.
Going back to that Tough experience, how much does that help you in fight? Just because that was a ton of fights in a short period of span. You've seen that since your UFC debut. You remain active. That's just something you kept going from Tough, is always trying to get these fights in?
Yeah, I mean, I've been super busy fighting ever since I started. So, I mean, I just need to have a fight set so I can get my mind right and go into training 100% with a fight in mind. Yeah, tough helped me a lot.
How do you see this fight playing against Talia?
Of course, with my hand raised at the end, I'm just excited to get in there and show all my skills.
And then obviously this year has been a bit weird for a lot of people, but to get three fights in this year, is that something you strive for? Because a lot of people haven't been able to even get fights. Like Maria Moroz hasn't been able to get out of her country.
Yeah, that's true. I'm 1-1 this year, so I'm ready to get that next win. And yeah, it's a good year for me.
Just a few more things is obviously Mark, when do you think Mark's going to get back in there and just try? Because obviously, I think he was released right after his last one. Because I wouldn't be surprised if he picks up a couple wins and gets back in the UFC.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. He's just really working with a lot of our guys on the MMA team right now. We have a lot of amateurs coming up and pros as well. He's been working really hard trying to get them fights and moving them. So I'm not sure about when he's going to fight next.
And just last thing, how important has Mark been throughout your career? Because he obviously knows what the weight cut's like, what training camp's like and all that. And just he's obviously a similar size and he can be one of your main training partners.
Yeah, it helps a lot. I mean, he's always there in my corner and he's there in all my training sessions and he can be my body and my coach and just kind of be there in my ear telling me to keep going. So he's been a really big help.
Well, Montana, thank you so much for doing this again. I really appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah. All right. We're joined by Cody Durden, who's dropping down and wait to fly away if an upcoming fight. Cody, how's it going?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Do you got me? Can you hear me or no?
I can't hear anything. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I got you. Do you got me?
I can't hear you.
Just a second. You got me now or no? Yeah, you got me now or no?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay, perfect. We're joined by Cody Durden, who's dropping down to flyweight for his upcoming fight. Cody, how's it going?
Good, man. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Let's just start there. Short notice UFC debut. You fought a very game Chris Gutierrez to a draw. A lot of people thought you could have won that fight. What did you take away from that? Because you looked very good for taking that fight on such short notice.
Man, there's some small details that I've been working. I've been working on finishing the takedown off a single leg a lot more, and just the overall aspect of what it takes to be at that level. And in order to reach success, you need to do things you haven't done before, and in order to climb the rankings. And I'm down here staying in Coconut Creek. Staying in the dorm rooms, just eat, sleeping, and training. That's about it.
You've been fighting at bantamweight for quite some time. What was the reason for the drop down in weight? What was the reason for you to drop down in weight now?
I walk around about 143, 145, and I was working in construction. I was working a job, and and I couldn't really, you know, I had to kind of eat on the go. And, you know, I was able to quit my job at the UFC call a few weeks after, and just really focus on training and trying to become one of the best in the world. And as I started training more, the weight started falling.
You're fighting a UFC newcomer who had a lot of hype off the Contender Series. How much do you know about Jimmy Flick?
Oh, man, I know he's a really, really game opponent. He's good at submissions. And, yeah, I mean, you got 13 submissions, then you know you're good on the butt. Man, I'm just an overall better fighter, and I plan on showing that. And I TKO his ass.
What's kind of surprising to me is you're a pretty big underdog here. You're about the same size an underdog here as you were against Chris Gutierrez. Does that surprise you?
Yeah, it actually does, because, I'm 4-0 in boxing. 11-1 on a short notice fight in the UFC, got a draw. I won 3 fights in 1 night. Man, I've done so much. I'm here with the best team, getting the training in, and it's gonna be a good fight, and that should just.
How much do you think that you've already fought once in the UFC is gonna help you in this one? Because this is his UFC debut.
For me, I didn't really have nerves or anything like that. Just because I fought so much, 6 times in 2019. This would be my 4th fight this year. It's pretty much what I do, man. And I don't think it's really an advantage, really.
Well, obviously, Jimmy's known as this grappler guy. So is the whole game plan just stuff the takedowns is basically your fight to lose? Because you're a much better boxer than what he is.
No, man. I'm better than this guy everywhere, dude. The submissions, the head arm doesn't scare me. Like, I have freaking Kyoji trying to head arm me. I told Kyoji and my buddy Juan Porta, I'll give you $100. You head arm choke me or darce me, and it hasn't fared well for them. So yeah, man, I'm not scared of this guy anywhere, bro. And I'll take him to the ground and pound him, bro.
What's kind of interesting is you guys actually have a common opponent. He's actually fought Chris Gutierrez, and Gutierrez knocked him out in the 3rd. Have you been able to watch that fight?
I have, yeah. I've seen all of his fights.
Does that give you better confidence that someone that you've arguably beat went out in there and knocked him out, or do you not really pay any attention to that?
No, I don't really pay attention to that. I know it's a fight, and anything can happen, and it's about who shows up, who's aware, and whose game plan works better,
Why do you think he has so much hype? Because this is a guy that hasn't even got in a fight in the UFC yet, and he's already a 2-1 betting favorite. Everyone's talking about, oh, this guy's so good and whatnot, when he hasn't made that walk to the UFC yet.
I think it has a lot to do with his adversity. I think it has to do with his adversity, his backstory, and all the submissions that he threw out there, his last fight against a 6-0 opponent who was very inexperienced and didn't have the experience that I have. And he ran through him, man. He put him in all kind of bad situations. And that guy, man, he had so many losses on his amateur record. It was unreal. So, if you're comparing me to that guy, then you need to reevaluate your betting.
Flyweight division is wide open, but this is your first fight in the UFC at flyweight. What do you think a win over Jimmy does for you? Because like we've talked about, he has a lot of hype behind his name.
It's gonna be good, man. I'm real confident. I'm putting in the work, training's going well. I'm working with the best guys, Pantoja, Kyoji. I sparred, you know, four rounds with Pedro Munoz this morning. You know, I'm surrounded by the right team, and it's all going to come together December 5th.
Well, that's what I want to touch on. Your team, like Jimmy, comes from a small gym. You come from American Top Team, where you have top-ranked flyweights in Koji Horiguchi and Alexander Pantoja. You have a lot of good bantamweights. Like, how important has that been, where you can train with the guys that are around your weight class and are elite at the weight class?
Man, you got to show up every day ready and prepared. You know, there's no easy practice. Every practice, you know, you got to give it your all and just be ready for a dogfight. And that's what I'm going to do December 5th, be ready for a dogfight.
Do you do any training still with the Lima brothers, or is it fully American Top Team?
Yeah. I've done most of my camp at American Top Team, Team Lima. I'm just down here for a little while, getting the extra credit work in, and yeah, I'll be back at American Top Team, Team Lima next week.
How important do you think that branding is, where you can go to the main American Top Team in Florida and you're still a part of that American Top Team out in Atlanta as well?
Oh man, it's great. It's great. You know, I go back and we just work one-on-one when I get back to Team Lima, and I'm blessed and surrounded by two great gyms that that really are good, top notch, you know.
Where do you think win over Jimmy puts you in this division?
Oh man, I think it's one step in the right direction. You know, my goal is to fight for that belt one day and have that belt around my waist, and we just got to keep punching the clock and putting in the work, and good things will come. I don't really know what it'll bring from here, but
do you think you've been a natural flyweight your whole career?
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Do you think you've been a natural flyweight your whole career?
Do what?
Do you think you've actually been a natural flyweight your entire career?
Yeah, man. I wouldn't say natural, but for the most part, I have. I didn't like cutting weight, you know? And yeah, that's pretty much it. And you know, I had a lot of other things going on at the time. I wasn't financially prepared to fight full time back in the day. You know, I always had to work and really grind for the things I have. And you know, I knew one day it all pay off, and here I am. You know, in the UFC, no job, great sponsors, Barber Orthopedic and Spine in Atlanta, Georgia. And yeah, man. Just getting 1% better every day.
How do you see this fight playing out against you and Jimmy? Because I know you've been saying for a while you're going to finish him.
Man, I think second round TKO coming.
Do you kind of view this as a statement fight for you? Just put the flyweight division on notice that you're here and you're here to stay?
Absolutely. Absolutely. My goal is to get re-signed, and it all starts with Jimmy.
And you are cutting down. You were a bantamweight. How much do you think that size advantage? Because I feel like you're probably going to be a bit stronger than him. Because Jimmy is one of those natural flyweights, fighting a flyweight for a while. And you have the frame that you could be a bantamweight.
Man, I don't think that's going to be a factor. You know what I mean? It's all about who implements their game plan.
And just last thing, if everything goes your way on December 5th, how quickly would you want to turn this thing around? Because I feel like when here gets you some momentum, and I don't, you could get another a rank guy next.
You know, I would love to fight February February and on, but I do want a little break, and I'm going to probably do my whole fight camp down here next time.
All right, well, Cody, thank you so much for doing this. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, man. I hope it turns out great. Sorry, the Wi-Fi is not that good here.
Yeah, no worries at all, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah. So, all right, have a